Everybody, welcome to another thrilling episode of Data Exposed. I'm your host, Scott Klein, and I'm here with the Ramalama Ding Dong brothers, Tobias and Slava. Gentlemen, welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We always welcome our guests that way.
Yes, this is a tradition.
This is a tradition. This is going to be an exciting episode because we were talking before. This is a teaser into kind of the performance we can expect out of SQL Server on Linux.
Yes, as you already know, like for CTP 2.0, we published TPCH first teaser benchmark, which is 1 terabyte benchmark for TPCH workload. And so today we will kind of show some tricks we had to do around the system and make SQL Server run efficiently, I would say, for that benchmark. And
very cool.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
So, how was it? How hard was it to get to these numbers?
It is very hard because you have to feed Slava. It's like breakfast, and then there's a snack sometimes. There's lunch and
mid-afternoon snack.
And then dinner, and then he has to nap.
And tea.
There's afternoon tea. There's a ton of work.
And not just one nap.
And we should just mention TPCH is a data warehousing benchmark.
Right. Okay. All right. So can you show what you did?
So today we're going to show just one query out of the TPCH the benchmark. The proper benchmark consists of 22 queries that you run in different ways, and there are two queries that kind of very hard to make perform. And so we'll focus on query 18 today. I'll just show that. How we were able to make it run. And the interesting point here is that as we continuously been preaching that this is the SQL Server engine, and if the environment allows you to run properly configured, then SQL engine will take advantage of the environment and we will enable the SQL Server run.
So you mentioned, just for those that aren't familiar with TCPH, you mentioned that, hey, we're going to run query. How many query, you know, if we're going to do a full test on TCPH, I mean, how many?
TPC.
TPC?
Hey.
Not CP.
TCP.
TPCH.
Good, you pay best.
Yeah, you have a transmission control protocol or transaction processing.
Didn't catch that.
Sorry. Yeah, we'll edit that. No, good. okay, so how many queries are there actually?
There are 22 queries that you run in different form. You run them sequentially, you run them concurrently and sequentially, and you do it a few times.
Okay, and there's certain numbers you have to hit.
I mean, it's not numbers.
But you probably don't want to publish if you hit very bad numbers, which is incidentally why there is not that many, publishing, since we are showing pretty good numbers.
Okay. Oh, interesting. Okay. So we're going to look at two numbers.
We're going to look at this one query.
It's Slava's favorite query.
Yes. Yeah. So we spent. So just from historical reasons, like when did we hear first time? When was it? About a year ago. That's when we did our first show. It was June, I think, around 20th or something like that. We actually shown how we run, like trying to optimize for performance and how we're careful and making the engine to perform. And we, in consecutive episodes, I believe we actually shown like some of the advancement that we made and how we made, and we talked about in the blog post. And and actually at QCon, I talked about the experience, how we did the intelligent hacks of improving the IOs and so forth. And so we've been constantly working in that direction, and today's kind of, I'll show you like using those tools and how far we came in terms of getting those numbers. And also, if you remember, the one of the tools we showed then was HTOP, which is CPU utilization, and our CPU utilization. And in that benchmark that we're showing, that was a OLTP kind of benchmark, but still our CPU was all over the place. It was lots of red. Yeah. And today we'll show some.
Okay, we need to recap a little bit here. So red is bad in HTOP. Why is red bad?
Because it's a kernel time, and we want to spend most of the time in the user mode when we're running the benchmark. Okay. And we want to spend most of the time running on the CPU, so it's making CPU to be a bottleneck. So today, exactly what we're going to show.
Yeah, okay. Given that the CPU is the fastest thing in the computer, right? If you get that one to be the bottleneck, then that's... Presumably, you're using the other resources efficiently.
Okay, good.
I think there's worth mentioning, I guess, two other things. So one is just the result of the benchmark that we published. So it's an official TPC benchmark that you can go to tpc.org and have a look. And so SQL Server 2017, we published together with HP Server and Red Hat for the operating system. And if you compare our result on the same machine that we ran SQL Server on Linux or 2017 on Linux versus SQL Server 2016 on Windows, we were about 6% better with SQL Server 2017 on Linux. Wow. Now, it's not a Linux versus Windows thing here. There's a bunch of improvements in SQL Server 2017. So we expect if we ran it on SQL Server on 2017 on Windows, we'd get basically the same perf.
Okay.
But it's cool to show that, you know, the sneak preview SQL Server 2017 on Linux does really perform.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah.
Yes, and I'd like to add to this point, we are committed to make SQL Server run on any or any customer platform of customer choice, right? How the hardware operating system, we really in delivering the best SQL Server engine on either platforms.
Okay. Yeah, where you want to run.
So that's our focus.
And then you focus on choice, right?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And
And then maybe everyone in the world didn't see your QCon conference in London for presentation. So what is this intelligent hack thing?
Well, the intelligent hacks, there was some things like when we put SQL Server on Linux, we kind of understand the architecture and then understand that from the get-go, it's not going to perform. But since we know the architecture and the layers and how we can combine them and how we can optimize them, we immediately start working on improvements, which I call in kind of intelligent hacks, because this is us to, like, to show that we can get there, but then the team and myself, we actually go and do the proper changes, so like architectural changes are driving the code base forward. But before that, we can actually go and show that, yes, the architecture, whatever we have, can actually perform, and we can get the performance the way we need it to get.
Okay. Yeah, I think if you would look back to, I think, one of our first show, we said, I think we got SQL Server booted up on Linux basically 1 month into the project, right? From the Slava join.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And, you know, it crashed left and right and so on, but it actually booted up, you could run, hang and so on. But then we proved that, okay, it's possible to start it and actually use the full engine. So now you need to work on the platform abstraction layer, make it robust. And these intelligent hacks is, okay, you know, performance is no good in the first month, right? So then do some hacks to prove as we're going forward, this is a path that is viable, right?
And just proving ourselves, keeping ourselves honest, make sure that everyone around us believes that this is the right thing. So like that's we're looking
and that
at
it's possible.
We're looking at the code, profile of the code. Oh, we can do this. We can do this. And we, in fact, most of the things were known to us from the beginning.
It's more of a proving ground.
Yes, exactly. And running a benchmark is a really good way of actually understanding the engine, understanding the architecture, and actually taking things forward.
Okay.
And so just from historical standpoint of view, like I think at the end of February, right, that's when we said, okay, we kind of ready in terms of the how things came together and in terms of intelligent hacks and in terms of
3 months ago, three or four months ago.
We said, okay, now it's time for us to do the teaser benchmark.
Yeah.
So when this is a time when we can show everyone and to ourselves, to prove to ourselves that yes, we can publish the benchmark and we can actually make things happen.
And it's worth noting, if you don't have experience with TPC benchmarks, is that these are, you know, it's rigorous kind of specification that you have to follow to run the benchmark. And it's audited by and run by a third party.
Okay.
So it's not, you know, we sit and can do magical things or anything like that. It's
you
a
hand
fully
it over
kind
to
of
them
open.
And they get,
yeah, and then you can go to the website and download the full disclosure report. You get to see whatever configuration knobs or anything that was set up to run the benchmark.
Okay. Sweet.
Okay. So
let's jump right in.
Okay.
Sweet.
Sounds good. So the first thing I'm going to do, I'm going to start SQL Server on Linux. It's going to boot. And so what we're going to do now, we're going to run this is a query engine, as I said, and we're just going to run it and see how much time
so
it's going to take.
This looks like Windows.
Yes, so this is SMS. I use SMS to run the query.
Right. So you're SSH'd into some Linux server, right?
You're so smart.
So
here's the
amazing
executing.
Yep.
The query, and as you can see, this is the like the in terms of the CPU utilization. You can see there is a bunch of red, and red is the kernel time.
In summary, red is bad. Yes.
Yes, And you want to notice that there's going to be time when we're going to hit 100%, but it's not going to be taking a long time.
Okay.
And most of the time, in reality, you do want to be.
So how many cores are on this machine?
This is, you can see there's 88 cores.
88 cores.
Yes. So
when we see red, it's spending more time
in the kernel. Okay, so you see this is when the data is pretty much got loaded and we spend more time running in the user mode, but not as much as we wanted.
Right, okay.
So this is like, let's say, this is where we started when 3 months ago, when the first time after we did all the engine work, this is when we ran this query, this is what we get in terms of the profile, right?
So in the beginning, When you issue this query the first time, yeah. We just booted up SQL Server, yes. So nothing is in the buffer pool.
Nothing is in the buffer pool. You saw I restarted, and it's important to note it took 44 seconds to run this thing.
Yes.
Yep. Okay.
So 44 seconds to run. We start with a lot of kernel time waiting for I/O to happen.
And there are other things that we're probably doing, and this is why I want to pay attention. Your attention right now is.
So we have to remember 44 seconds for the first execution of said query 18.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So now Linux, similar to Windows, has the notion of transparent huge pages. So Windows has large pages, notion of large pages, which very much correspond to transparent huge pages on Linux, right? So SQL Server can take advantage of the large pages from the get-go. So what we're going to do right now,
why don't we use little pages instead?
So the large pages is specifically for TPCH type of workload are very useful because of how we use the memory and TLB misses. So there is on the CPU there is a thing called translation look aside buffer, which translates virtual address to a physical address.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have the large pages, then you do the large pages instead of like small pages are 4K, large pages is 2 megabytes. So what happens is for a given number of pages, you do less translation. You utilize the translation look aside buffer more often versus it's a cache. So your cache utilization is higher. Okay. Versus if you have a smaller pages, you have to go through actually translation through the page directories and so forth.
And you need one of these TLB things just because you want multiple processes on the machine?
No,
you don't need that.
Trick question.
Okay, so now what we're going to do, we're actually going to configure transparent huge pages before they were disabled. Now we're going to enable them. And we're going to restart SQL Server again. Oh, I should have make sure that they're enabled. But
enable what?
The transparent huge pages. So this is what I just enabled, the large pages in Notion. So this what's happening under covers, operating system Linux will actually, if it will notice that we can take advantage of the large pages, it will coalesce smaller pages into larger pages and will take the advantage. Our SQL Server will take the advantage, or the workload will take the advantage of large pages.
Okay.
Okay. So now let's execute the query again. Remember the last time it was 44 seconds?
Yes.
Now also the important part here is to actually observe our beautiful graph. And now I know it's very hard to remember, but the pattern here is better.
More green, yeah.
You start seeing lots of more green versus red. And there's going to be time when we run more at 100%. That's we're getting closer to 100% faster than we than in previous run. And we stay at 100% a little bit longer than we did before.
This is how Slava spends his days. So some people watch Netflix, some watches HTOP.
So now you can see we shaved off 7 seconds from just this query just by enabling the transparent huge page.
37 seconds. And yeah, you rebooted SQL Server, so still buffer pool was empty. You had to read from this.
So let's just for sake of it now, like without restarting SQL Server, just for fun, let's execute it again.
For fun.
And see how much time it's going to take. So now I see because we're in memory, the entire database is in memory, so we spend beautiful, right? It's very close to 100%.
So there's something beautiful here that is worth mentioning, which is we're running a single query that SQL Server is distributing across all of the 88 cores.
Yep.
Yes.
Right. So this is really, a real parallel query in action.
Yes. And so now if we look at the number,
22 seconds. Cut it in half.
Yes. So, but this is because it's hard because we removed most of the IOs.
Well, 37.
We removed most of the IOs. So now, let's So SQL Server, let's do phone intrigue. So we will use the special, we'll shut down SQL Server. Mm-hmm. And we will use special trace flag. And
so what's a trace flag?
A trace flag is a configuration parameter that many SQL Server
professionals
know about. They configure certain functionality. This specific flag is actually tell SQL Server that it wants to optimize itself for large pages. And that's one thing. And the second thing, if you notice, we actually start up at time is slow, it's SQL Server is grabbing all the memory. This is actually more referring right now as the intelligent hack, because what we've done, and we on a single thread, we're currently consuming, trying to grab, allocate all the memory that we're going to be using.
Okay.
So if when we do it properly, it's going to be just we're committing on all so the cores at the same time, now, so it's going
to
be fast.
So everyone now has to remember this trace flag?
Not really. This flag is actually well known in the SQL Server community. It has side effects that people are also aware of, and we actually, as I talked to Atuga IT last week, we will be working on improving the. There are some issues with this trace flag around the memory fragmentation that some workloads might be affected.
So what I really wanted you to say was you don't typically need to use any trace flags.
Yes, typically.
Typically, except when you are Slava and want to do
some fun stuff.
And so you want demos.
Yes, I want to pre-commit memory up front. So
if you don't restart the service all the time, then it's maybe not the end of the world.
No, yeah, so and, as I said, in this specific case, right, as you can see, we're growing the memory, we're committing memory here. The reason we're doing, so we could have done it on multiple threads at the same, on multiple processors, is just we haven't done the work.
So how much memory is on this machine?
There is, I believe, this have a terabyte.
Half a terabyte machine. So 88 cores, half a terabyte.
Yes. So we booted SQL Server. Now let's execute the query again. And let's go back.
We have 44, 37, 22.
Whoa, wow.
So far.
He's so good. So just, but.
I also remember my credit card number.
What is it?
No.
Wait.
So, but the good, we made a bet on the operating system features, and this is where we're actually getting those features. Like, as Windows, we use large pages. We want to use large pages on Linux. And transparent, huge pages, they are. Kind of an entrance for us to large pages on Linux. There are other ways of configuring large pages, and we're looking into those as well. So you saw, notice that we finished, and now we finished in 34 seconds before it was 37.
That's amazing.
Yes.
Amazing.
Yes. Now
it's earth-shattering.
So, but the important part here, we started with 44. We haven't done any modifications in the engine, and we went down to 34. That's where we started. Without any changes.
No changes.
Yes. Now let's run it second time.
So it's almost a cut of 25%.
This is where you're going to see the beauty of SQL Server engine. You are 100% across the board. Mm-hmm. All the execution happens in user mode. Mm-hmm. There is no execution mode happening in kernel at all. So yeah, this is
regrettably, I have to agree with him. This is pretty cool.
If
you think about it,
a single
query running on 88 cores. All 100% exactly.
And
all
like,
the
look
times.
At the time. The time below, it's 18 seconds.
18 seconds. So shaved another.
So it was 22 hot with the transparent huge pages. We shaved all
20%
four more seconds.
That's interesting. So I think it's worth mentioning, worth just reiterating. So one thing is running the CPU at 100%.
Yep.
Which is cool in itself, right? Mm-hmm. But here we're running CPU at 100%. In user time.
Yes.
Right? Which is, it's only executing SQL Server code.
Yes.
Right?
Oh, okay.
Not doing anything outside of.
So just SQL Server.
So this is also important to notice here that we take advantage of SQL Server column store.
Uh-huh.
So in this case, the entire database, 1 terabyte database, actually ends up fitting into the memory. And so that's why we know, for these specific workloads, for data warehouse workloads, for that 1 terabyte database, we can actually suck it in into memory and do all the.
So this is there's custom column store enabled on this?
Yes.
Wow.
There's a yeah.
Yep.
That's how nice. We get.
These kind of numbers.
Exactly.
Yes.
This is SQL Server, the beauty of SQL Server.
So go back. So give us an idea. So we're looking at awesome numbers, but yes. Like how many rows were in that table and how many, you know, I mean, that's kind of.
Could you do a count star on that table?
So do you want to, so count star?
Yes.
How do you do count star?
Count star.
Select. I'll let you drive it.
And then I have to use this.
We're making fun, like I'm doing debugging here, then he's doing
So I guess line item is the big table, right?
Oh, that's, yeah.
Yep.
So we'll run that. Oh, sorry, not possible. Because count returns an integer, so it's more than 2 billion rows.
Okay,
right?
Yes, that's sure. to get perspective.
But fear not, we have count big.
And I would never know that there is a count big. I would never know. Never. Oh, that's a BS. The count deep is this query. So that's why I'm like, you drive. Yeah. As long as it's not, the woman is no longer bits of bytes, I don't know.
The truth comes out.
Exactly.
So. Live on Data Exposed, the truth comes out.
Yes.
We share responsibility.
Yes. Yes. Assembly SQL. Yeah.
He's like, it was a little bit.
He's like, I know what's going to happen. You do it.
Yeah. Exactly. Yes.
So how many is this? So wait, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 6. So 6 billion.
6 billion rows.
Rows, and we counted those in 0 seconds.
That's amazing.
How is that possible?
This is just a show of amazing feature. Feats.
Yeah,
I think it's
so.
More,
that's
it's
still
more
impressive.
So we could actually just take a look at the execution plan here. The actual execution plan.
So there now he's having fun.
Yeah. And then make it actually possible to see. So here, just to point out, so we ran it in 1 second now. Let's turn on statistics so we can see. So actual time here to execute was 406 milliseconds elapsed time. And if we go to the execution plan, just to point out that we're not, you know, going looking in some table where it says 6 billion, right?
Yeah.
So it's actually doing a scan of the column store.
Yep.
Clustered column store just means that the entire table is a column store.
Yep.
Right? So we store column by column, which obviously enables very good domain-specific compression, right? And then we do the aggregate, and we do this, you can see the two arrows there, which means that we're doing this
parallel
across, so we spread out across multiple threads, do the scan, do the groups, or do the aggregates on each thread, and then collect the result at the end.
Man. Thank you.
Amazing. Yeah. Yeah. Who cares about
what
the
is
the
which one of these presentations? Which one of these presentations is better than the other?
I don't know.
There was performance, but then there was Tobias.
Yeah, amazing.
And that's SMS.
Yeah, and that's SMS.
That's right.
Should not be for that. That is actually
I think that's still critical though, because you know we got a 6 billion row, and there's probably you know just as, you know a lot of rows in there, but still we got back based on your performance, you know, in what 18 seconds.
Yeah.
Right? Yes.
Which is
and this, amazing. If you look at that query, you know there's, it's. Obviously, a join from before Slava was born here.
Yes.
But it's a join between three tables, right?
Yep.
Not that anyone does joins these days. That's for ancient computing. So we're joining three tables. And then we have a non-correlated subquery. So that's another join, if you will.
Yeah.
And then we do the grouping and the sorting, right? So... So the above one, probably even I could write the parallelization of the count, right?
Right.
This one, this query is non-trivial to parallelize across the 88 cores. And that is the cool thing to see. This, a real query that you run against the 88 cores, and you could see us spread out the workload and actually run 100% across the cores.
Yeah. That's very impressive.
And it ran on Linux.
Even more impressive. So how would someone, I get, you know, if standard DBA guy run a query like that, how would I know that that query is taking you know, all the cores on my box. Without that.
Without a tool? Without a tool. You should look at the...
Like, yeah, you'll have to look at... So for certain things, we have DMVs. Yeah. This particular thing you'd have to look at, ask the OS, right?
Okay.
Because the OS knows what the CPUs are doing. I don't think we have a DMV dynamic management view that would
show us
the utilization of the cores.
No, I'm pretty sure there is one. I just don't remember which one. I'm pretty sure somebody you can look into the one of the DMVs. At least you'll see number of tasks actively running or scheduled.
You can look at wait stats also. Yeah. That's another way to do it.
I was just interested, you know, because I didn't mean to put you on the spot. I was just kind of like, well, hey, you know, given what we just saw, I'm sure DBAs are like, I would like to know that.
Yeah.
But you can see, so HTOP, the same thing is available in Windows, that's the perfmon, right?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So, and you have the same thing there, user time, and it's not called kernel time,
it's kernel time.
I thought they called it something else.
Privilege time.
Privilege time, right. But that's the same thing. So on Linux, you run HTOP, on Windows, you would run perfmon.
There are other tools on Linux, and I'm pretty sure there is, I just don't remember off the top of my head, you can use the DMV for tasks or workers that will show for schedules that will show
there,
you that all
there
of
there
those
are definitely are better people than us to come and talk about kind of debugging queries. But wait stats would be a good thing to look at.
So let's wrap this one up. But where's the stop button? What can we expect? Are you still doing more work on TPC? Of course, yes.
So we're getting closer and closer to release. We are proactively working on other benchmarks, and both on Windows and Linux, and we are going to be releasing those. And we're working out with our partners. So yes, expect more fun stuff.
So we can see still even more improvements on those numbers.
Of course. Yes, okay. And one thing you, like, I hope everyone now understands and believes that SQL Server on Linux is the same as SQL Server. There is pretty much no difference whatsoever. And yes, we are going to be publishing benchmarks very soon.
Well, yeah, that's awesome. And I think we'll see even that last point about SQL Server and, you know, on Linux and Windows and, you know, in Tobias's demo in the next show, right, which is... Hopefully we'll see pretty soon.
Yes. Right. I'm very excited about that stuff. especially I'm not sure if he's gonna show that, but the heterogeneous class, like where you have both Linux and Windows.
That's right.
How he gets very excited if I'm gonna demo something.
That's right.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay. Why could you turn it upside down maybe?
That's right.
Cool.
Okay. Because it's a miracle if it works.
Yes.
Right. Anyway, so this was awesome, you guys. Thanks for coming.
Thank you.
Definitely want to have you guys back for more, talk about, you know, see more work you're doing on this stuff. This is awesome. It's always a pleasure to have you in the studio. Everybody, thanks for watching, and we will see you next time.
Thank you.